Hi and welcome. Thank you for joining me today on the sort of the last minute, and sorry about the last minute schedule regarding auction.com, but there has been just a tremendous amount of activity, especially on bigger pockets, about auction.com, and a lot of people have reached out to me. I think there's like five pages of just questions and people's experiences and dealing with with online auctions and specifically auction.com. And so I've sort of talked about maybe holding just a question and answer call on, you know, on just in general my experiences with them, because that's pretty much how I've been getting almost all of my deals. Almost all of my deals have been through some auction house, and most of them auction.com. And so a lot of people want to understand exactly, you know, what happens. They ask a lot of questions. They say, hey, Jean, will you look at this property for me, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to, you know, I want to go over some of these questions that I generally get, and then allow an opportunity for people to ask their own questions, or if you just want to hear, you know, my own stories or stories that I know about other people, I'm always happy to share. So some of the questions, first let me remind you a couple of housekeeping items is that you are in, we do have the Q&A mode on, so if you do have a question or have something you want to offer, a star six will get you in the Q&A queue. So that's a star six, and I'll remind people every now and then. And yes, this is being recorded, so you can go back and listen to it another time or possibly even share with your friends. But I, you know, I started learning about real estate investing in 2009, and that was really pretty much, especially in California, where there was a real glut in the market. And I did get a deal, and, you know, and it was a property that was about to fall out of escrow, and that one was just, you know, its own weird story. But after that, I could not get another deal. I just could not get another deal. I would make hundreds of offers. I would, you know, do what, you know, what I was taught to do, you know, how to make the offers, the numbers, you know, the right verbiage, all of that stuff, and it just wasn't working. And being unemployed at the time, I was getting a little bit desperate. So I thought a little bit, you know, more outside of the box, and I don't know how I did this, but I stumbled across one online auction. And it was funny, I think it was Williams Auction, I'm not sure which one it was, but it was a live cast auction where there were people in a room and people on the internet. My son, who was a young teenager at the time, well, maybe a teenager, just a regular teenager at the time, was sitting on my husband's computer doing whatever he was doing, playing a game or whatever, and I was watching the bidding on this one house that was going on in Bakersfield, California, and they kept trying to get up from, for some reason, they just went from $55,000, the price of the house was going to be $55,000, and they kept wanting to go to $57,500, you know, do I hear $57,500, blah, 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 you know. And, of course, in the meantime, I'm going into super speed mode on, you know, doing my online research to make sure that the numbers would work for me. And so I finally, you know, clicked to be $57,500, and then it says $57,500, do I hear $60,000? And then all of a sudden sold at $57,500. And I went, oh, my goodness, I just bought a house. And later my son was telling my husband what had happened, that, you know, what happened through the time that my husband was gone. I don't remember what he was doing or where he came back from. But, you know, he'd say, oh, well, this happened and that happened, and Mom bought a house. And it was like, what? Wait, what? And, you know, that was my first auction. And and that went pretty well. That was a little rehab in Bakersfield. And by then I had already been blogging about what I do, you know, what I've done, what my stories and learning about, you know, just, and I'm continually in a learning process about real estate investing, of course, because the real estate market always changes a little bit. But luckily, I had enough followers and enough people that I was connected with nationwide that I could reach out and ask for some help. And I knew people that were in California and, you know, were often driving back and forth between Northern California and Southern California. So I had one friend stop and, you know, check it out for me. And so it you know, sounded like it was pretty good. And then I got connected to a contractor. And then, you know, he seemed to, you know, he was an investor also, so he knew what needed to be done, which was, you know, I don't know if that was just beginner's luck for me or what, but as it turns out, let's see, I did use private money for that purchase, and I, you know, finished the rehab, and we listed it and got an offer on it within 24 hours. So, you know, so that was, you know, pretty good luck. And so I realized that the dealing with the online auctions was probably going to, you know, was something I wanted to pursue a little bit more. You know, it's the first time you try something that works out nicely. You want to, you know, really investigate that some more. So I did. And about, let's see, at that time, I think I had another pretty massive project going on in Austin where I probably took on more than I was ready for, but I was pretty much at a still a beginner level and decided to add on square footage. I don't recommend anybody do that as their first or second project, but there was a lot of learning experiences with that one. But at that same time, I was concentrating on Bakersfield, California, and there were a lot of properties that I was getting. You know, I remembered what I was taught, you know, how to make the offers, what the numbers should be, et cetera. And then, you know, I would see these properties come up on online auction. And it was like those properties had a whole different set of asset managers. And this one was, you know, and these, most of these others came from auction.com. And the first one, I'm not even sure. I think they had just gotten the domain name auction.com at that point. Used to be real estate something, REDC, anyway, something like that. Anyway, so I was getting properties, and I was watching the properties that would, you know, fall out or whatever, and then the next thing you know, it would show back up on auction. And at the time, I had about 6 or 7 properties going at one time. And that was when I said, okay, I guess maybe I should make a trip out there and see how things are going. And so I did, and I finally got to meet my contractor in person. I got to see the properties and, you know, found an agent. And, you know, again, it was really delightful to be able to see, you know, in person what was going on. And so I really, you know, got to a level of comfort with being able to do that. And I've learned a lot. And even when I watched properties as they would go up for auction, I would see them even, you know, 3 or 4 times through one auction house and then see the same property going up with another auction house. And, you know, so there was, you know, a lot going on at the time and about learning about these online auctions and dealing with the banks. And so anyway, some of the, you know, I'll get to some of the questions. I think I sent out a list of questions on my emails on, you know, the what happens when you do deal with online auction. And I can tell you one of the, especially with auction.com specifically, because they've expanded their business. A few years ago, they got an influx of investment capital, and they started a sort of VIP program. And that, to be honest with you, that I'm sure increased their business, and it sure increased my business because, you know, and I think about how easily I could have just not returned this guy's call. But at one time, when they started this VIP program, they reached out to me and said, this is what we're doing. We're starting this VIP program, and these are the benefits that you get, you know, because you've done, you know, you seem to be a serious investor. You've closed a good number of deals with us, you know, we'd like to give you your own account manager, and that you that is your point of contact within auction.com, and we would also like to give you, you know, a a point of contact for your as your closing, you know, a closing coordinator as well. And so that was fine. And you know, then they, you know, what they started doing then is sending me spreadsheets of all of the properties, and it was really good to get, you know, that heads up information of what was coming down the line. And you know, even though I could easily look on their site to see, you know, what properties were coming on, I never really knew when they were coming or, you know, what the status of them were. I would just log in almost every day and say, well, did they put a bunch of properties up that day or not? But one of the things is, like I said, especially with auction.com, the main question, the first question I get, or even when people reach out to me and say, Gene, what do you think of this property, you know, blah, 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 blah. And auction.com, I think, is the only one that's doing this, but they will actually put on their site not just bank-owned properties, but they will put on the delinquent properties that are still owned by the primary borrower. And those properties are the same properties that are foreclosed on the courthouse steps. So a lot of people will get confused as to what I bid on and what you want to bid on if you are a beginner. I don't recommend going to the courthouse steps for a lot of reasons. There's just extra levels of risks involved when you go to the courthouse step. And in Texas, anyway, you actually have to have your checks with you and pay right then and there. So so when you look at auction.com, the first thing I do when I am on the site is I just change the little options to all, you know, from all foreclosures to bank-owned and newly foreclosed. And the reason I want to do that is because I don't want to take the risk of getting a property that has a heavy lien on it. And unless you do a thorough search on the property, you know, you take that risk. And so, you know, so some of the questions I get, do I have to pay immediately? And if I am a high bidder on an auction, they do give me a very short window in order to actually pay the earnest money deposit, which I believe is a minimum of, $2,500 or 5% of the purchase price. And but they still allow me 30 days to come up with the rest of the money. And so that is a common question I get. Is do I have to pay immediately? And then probably the next one I get is, what about title insurance? Title insurance is important to me because I am buying properties to renovate, you know, improve, and then to resell. And I, the last thing I need is any title issues come up, and I want that. I want to make sure I have clear title. So, yes, you have the option to get title insurance when you purchase a newly foreclosed or a newly foreclosed or bank-owned property. You don't get title insurance if you purchase the property that is just advertised as a foreclosure that will be held at the courthouse steps, at least in Texas. In Texas, all of the foreclosures are like the first Tuesday of the month at the same, you know, that day in every single county, where, you know, every state is different. In Florida, the more popular counties, you can actually do the courthouse steps foreclosures online. Again, it makes it easier. It makes it easy for me to, you know, do bidding in Florida if I wanted to do that, but I don't want to do that. So for me, I just don't mess with the courthouse steps. I've written some blog posts about the courthouse steps, especially with the bid rigging, but you know, I'm sorry to say, but it goes on, and I've tried bidding at the courthouse steps, and I was pretty much pushed out of, was not allowed near the good old boys club there at the courthouse steps. So you could read that hold on just a second. I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, that blog post. Yeah, bid rigging in the courthouse steps. Read that blog post. That one was kind of funny. Okay, so the next question that I get, and I didn't even know this until later on, it says, if the property says cash only, will they accept hard money? And this is one thing that if you call them, they'll probably say, no, it's a cash sale only. The reality is, my experience, in fact, one time they called me to confirm my high bid. They wanted to get the information from me. They want to collect all of the information, even the commitment that you've put in your earnest money deposit. These people don't have time to mess around with, you know, people that are slow, or, you know, if you're serious about purchasing property on auction.com, then you need to act fast. And because they just don't, you know, once it gets to that state, they don't, you know, want to mess around. So there was one time I got a call. It said, okay, you're the high bidder on blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this is a cash sale. You know, will you be paying cash? I said, well, will you either be cash or hard money? And he said, oh, that's same thing. So I was like, ooh, sweet. Now I can get a property high bid and find my hard money lender and purchase it with hard money. So that has turned out to be really nice. I think I've irritated them a couple of times in their closing process, because it does sort of change their closing process a little bit if you are using hard money. So I let them know up front that it'll most likely be hard money. And just a reminder that a star 6 will get you into the Q&A queue, and I will still go ahead and go down my list of questions. One thing that I wanted to point out that I do get with auction.com and with the VIP level of being that I'm a VIP is, not only do I have an account manager, but they are able to guide me on what the seller is looking for when I'm making a bid. There are some sellers that actually will disclose their reserves, and not that they can tell me over the phone or anything like that what the reserves are, but I can at least check and say, okay, well, if I bid, you know, $150,000, will I still be with, you know, will I be okay reserve-wise? And my account manager can tell me yes or no at that point. And so that's been a real time saver for me, because I don't even want to mess with anything when the reserves are just way too high, which happens sometimes. In fact, that's been happening a lot lately. But, you know, it comes and goes. And you know, the markets always change. In fact, a few years ago, I guess the hedge funds came in and started, you know, really taking over, and I sort of took a break from, you know, the online auctions, and you know, then they backed off, and I got back in and was getting more deals. Okay, so the next question, you know, how long do I have to close? I can tell you that they usually give you a good 25 days to close. Sometimes there are title issues that come up, and it takes them a good amount of time for them to work through them. In fact, I've got one that's under contract in Chicago that I think has been under contract since November, and they're having a problem. It's a condo, and they're having a problem just getting any response from the HOA, and they're having to take legal action. And I got such a good deal on that particular condo that, you know, I think it's worth, you know, keeping my $2,500 tied up until they get it cleared. Of course, if it's one of these deals where there is no HOA or something like that, you know, I can back out of it, and they'll return my earnest money deposit. Other people have asked, can I choose my own closing company? And the answer is yes. And I can tell you that with the volumes of closings that auction.com has, sometimes they get backed up, and sometimes the closing companies are just overwhelmed and can't really, you know, I don't know. It's when you get into this level of paperwork that it gets really, really, really frustrating. And I know that there are times that people have said to me, "Gene, don't use that clothing company again, please," and whatever. So I don't know if it's more beneficial when, if you use the seller's title company or not. Generally, they offer to pay for the title insurance if you use their closing company, and generally I use their closing company. There's a few that I know I'm happy with, and there's a few that I know I'm not happy with and wouldn't use again. So, that closing company, that title company, has to do the document preparation. So the question that you would have in your mind is, if I use my own closing company, my own title company, and pay the fee for the seller's title company to transfer that information, is it still going to be worth it to me? And, that's just a question that you will have on your own, and nobody can really answer that for you. Again, if you have your own question, a *6 will get in it, get into the Q&A queue. But I still have about a few more questions that I'm going to go through. What if I change my mind? What if you change your mind? That is not an option. You can't just change your mind. When you're dealing with these auction houses, that's when the bank has said, "I'm done with these properties, get them off my books." And they want to deal with serious buyers only. You can't just say, "Oh, I didn't realize it was across the street from a jail." No, you can't say that. But you have to do your own due diligence, and I do offer lessons on how to do your own due diligence online. So if you want to talk to me about that, just feel free to email me later on, and we can set up another call. But the answer is, what if you change your mind? Well, you have to have a pretty darn good excuse. And I have found that there are certain things that nobody could know about, that there's no way anybody could know about, where they, where, yes, you can back out of a deal. One example is a condo that I got under contract in Chicago. And the HOA had an issue that came up that basically made it impossible for me to move forward with the deal. So I was able to get my earnest money deposit back and cancel that contract. And that particular one, I believe it was the whole building demanded to be 100% owner occupied, and that was it. I mean, it never even should have made it to auction if that was the rule. But oftentimes, the HOA will not even disclose that kind of information until there's a property under contract. So, this is not one of those things. If you're considering being a wholesaler, where you say, "Oh, okay, I couldn't find a buyer for it, so I'll just get my money back by the terms." No, you can't do that. And so, when I move forward and when I bid on properties, with the online auctions and mostly auction.com, is I want to make sure that it's a property I can take down myself, even if I'm buying it with somebody else in mind. So I've got a good example. There was one in Seattle. I made a mistake on the comps. There were two buildings right next to each other, and they looked alike. They looked like they were the same complex, and I was wrong. So my comps were off by a certain amount, but I went ahead and I closed it. I tried my best to wholesale it, but that's another thing we need to talk about is wholesaling. But, as it turned out, I looked at it and it was in fine shape. In fact, that was probably my least cost investment. I paid about $500 just to have the kitchen countertops recoated, and it was, I think it was a $95,000 purchase price. It sold for like $126,000. and that's all I put into it. And I found a private lender and we did a profit split. And so, you know, it's one of those deals that even though I made a mistake on the comps, I knew I had to go through with it. And I was okay with going through with it because I knew it would still make money. And it did. It turned out to be an easy flip. I think it was about a $20,000 profit. Okay, now, when you get to the point where you're doing the online auctions, they want you to put up an earnest money deposit, and not an earnest, excuse me, no, a bid, a pre-bid deposit. I don't know exactly what they call it, but in order to register to bid, you need to put up like $2,500. Now, that's one of the things that I don't have to do because of my VIP status with auction.com, but before they had the VIP program, I did find out that if you have a credit card that has that kind of room on it, I would just use my credit card as opposed to transferring real money over to them. And that was, the least painful way to, to commit to $2,500. Let me see if we've got any questions. Yep, no questions yet. Okay. Are the banks bidding on their own properties? And that has been a question, for a long time, and the speculation that, and the answer is yes, they are. They are bidding on their own properties. They want to try to get the highest level of interest that they can. And, sometimes they get you. They get you in this emotional state. And it's not the banks that get you. It's the whole online auction, the whole auction process, especially when you get down to the wire. And the bid amounts are, incrementally smaller. So instead of a $10,000, next bid amount, it might, gets to $5,000 or $2,500 or, even $1,000. And so sometimes you get emotionally caught in that game there. And if there's anything that I advise people is when you're looking at properties to bid on, to not get caught up in that. Don't get your heart set on any one property. Have several in mind when you're going into these kind of properties because this kind of stuff can happen and you can end up overbidding, and that's not cool. Okay, do sellers have reserves? Yes, the sellers have reserves. Lately, some of the sellers have been disclosing their reserves. For example, some banks have foreclosed on a HUD-insured property. So you might be dealing with looking at a property that is insured by HUD for, let's say, $100,000. And the bank will still put it out there to auction to see if maybe they could get $110,000. But they're not going to accept anything less than $100,000 because they'll get their $100,000 from HUD. So there are some sellers that have their reserves, and they are hard and fast, and that's it, and they're not going to go any lower. There are some sellers that have reserves in mind, and then it may have gone through the auction block 2 or 3, 5, 10 times, and they're saying, okay, I need this off my books, by Friday, so sure, I'll go ahead and take this lower offer. So you never know really, how flexible a seller is going to be when it comes to their reserves. Even my account manager has said, oh, gee, they won't take less than 10% of the reserves, and, then they accept my, bottom feeder bid. So, and sometimes, they're pretty strict with them. Again, a star 6 if you've got your own questions, but I still have a few questions here. What if the seller rejects my high bid? That happens, and I don't like it when that happens, to be honest with you. Well, actually, sometimes I might have some buyer's remorse and then a little bit thankful that they rejected my bid. But at that time, you've already sent in your earnest money deposit. You've paid your wire fee. You've gotten your documents together. And then it takes a week or a few days or a week to get an answer back to you. And auction.com and really the others do a pretty good job of knowing, you know, if the seller is going to accept the bid or not. You know, sometimes they'll just, you know, they'll know that, that it won't be accepted, and but they would not pass a high bid to a seller, or a high pre-auction bid to a seller if they didn't think that the seller would accept it. So, but if they reject my high bid, I need to get my earnest money deposit back, and that does take a long time. It is not fun to be out your money, especially if you're, you know, if you do happen to be bidding on multiple properties at a time. I mean, you can easily make a big hit to your bank account with earnest money deposits. So, but you know, they'll sign a, you know, everybody signs a release, and then they'll cut you a check. And yeah, sometimes it takes a while to get that back. And that's another benefit by being a VIP, is that I have an account manager that I can say, you know, I haven't heard anything. Can you check on this for me? And she'll check on it for me, and we'll see what the status is. So the next question that I see is, why would I want to buy properties via auction.com? And I think that's a very valid, very, very valid question, because once you are dealing with these online auctions, there are very strict rules on, you know, who pays for what. They don't deal with any monkey business. They don't, you know, they don't have any patience for any kind of fickle buyers. So you need to be a very serious buyer, and you know, just you jump when they say jump. So you may not want to do that. But one of the things that I do look at too is that sometimes, you know, the markets, you know, there's the ebb and the flow of demand, you know, supply, et cetera. And, you know, one of the things that I look at when I do my research of a property that's on auction.com is I want to make sure that, you know, that I'm not paying for more than what it was listed for, because you have a little bit more flexibility when you're making an offer to a bank via a listing agent. Not much, but a little bit more. So if I'm going to have to go through all this pain of, you know, their title company and all of the rules, et cetera, that you have to abide by, I better make sure that I'm getting a good deal. So that's one of the first things I look at, is what was it listed for before it went to auction. So not all properties are listed these days. It used to be that they would list them for 90 days, 6 months, et cetera, and then it would hit auction. And sometimes I would try to make my offers, you know, to be my auction price right before it goes to auction. But you just never know when the bank's going to take it off the market and put it to auction. So, so lately, though, they have these properties called CWCOT, and basically what that means is that's their day one REOs, which means that like in Texas, we have our foreclosures on the first Tuesday of the month, and then on Wednesday, it could show up on auction.com. So they are already marketing properties that do not, you know, that don't have a clear title yet. So, and those properties especially still have a good chance of being occupied by the borrowers, and also, you know, might have some title issues, and the escrow process may take a long time. So that's, you know, something that I've been playing with, and that's been particularly difficult for me, especially with hard money lenders, because often hard money lenders want to get inside the property to get an appraisal. And I can share with you my experience with that is the hard money lenders would be flexible for me to actually just do an outside appraisal only, but then would not lend as much on the purchase price of the property. So that's how I've dealt with that, but it's still riskier. You don't know if the the borrower is going to actually leave or not. My experience is that most of the time they've already left, or they leave in the process. And so I've been thankful. But that's another thing that I do is I, you know, want to do my research, see how long has it been in foreclosure. Is it possible that it's still, is it really possible that it's still occupied? And in fact, I'm in Florida right now at one of my condos. And since there are more foreclosures in Florida than there are in Texas, or near me in Texas, in Austin, I said, well, shoot, I might just drive by some of these properties. And yeah, I saw that one, you know, it clearly looks vacant, even though it said that it was occupied. So, you know, it's nice to be able to have somebody that can actually, you know, take a look at the property for you and see if it is occupied or not. So those are my list of questions that that I seem to get a lot of. One of the things that that I have done for people I need to back up a little bit, wholesaling. Because one of the things that I realized with theauction.com is that, you know, they don't mess around. They don't want any fickle buyers. But there are things that I do and ways that I do it where I can wholesale the properties. And I do have a select few clients that I bid on properties for them, and they take advantage of my position with the VIP level, and you know, and I can guide them. And in fact, you know, just to let you know, there's been several times that I've been the high bidder, or I haven't, but even I haven't even been the high bidder, and they come back to me and say, "Gene, will you still honor your last bid of X? We think the seller might take your offer." And they don't do that with just anybody. They you know, look at, you know, is this offer from a VIP, you know, somebody with a serious track record or not. So I do have a select few clients that I have bid on their behalf. If I know that they want the property and we've already, you know, made the agreement that they want this property, what happens is when they call me and say, okay, you know, is this going in a trust? Is this, you know, how is this going to be titled? I go ahead and give them my client's contact information, and then they move on from there. I'm also available should there be any closing issues there, and or if for whatever reason the sale can't go through, I can also help them get their earnest money deposit back. The other way I do it, in order to make my purchases not look like a wholesale deal, is I will put the property in land trust. And I've been using land trust for years now, and they are extremely easy for me to create and for me to use, and it makes the banks happy, because one of the rules is that you cannot change the name on the purchase contract to the title, no matter what. So if I say I'm buying a property on the 68th Land Trust, and it's Gene Norton, the trustee, and I've got you know, a company, actually my company, Low Tech Ventures, as the beneficiary, when I wholesale a property or I market a property that I have taken, you know, again, I always want to make sure that I'm going to take this property down, whether I wholesale it or not. I mean, I don't just give it up and, you know, but I'll take it down. So what I do in that case is I sell the beneficial interest of the trust. So what that does is me as a trustee, I'm still the signature that auction.com wants, and it's going to be titled in my land trust, which is legal in every state. So the land trust statutes may fall under different, you know, like a regular trust. Anyway, some states have their own land trust statutes. Florida is one of them. But even if you don't have those statutes, they treat it just as a general, general revocable trust. So that's how I've been doing it. Now, if anybody's got any questions, the star 6 should get you in the Q&A queue. And I've would love to talk to anybody that has more questions or wants to ask specifically about a specific issue or even just share your own experiences. A star six will get you in the Q&A queue. And I'd love to hear from anybody. So what about other auction houses? So yeah, I've gotten some deals from Williams Auction, and I have gotten some deals from Hubzu. I have not had much luck with some of the others, and I probably don't use some of the others because they are hard for the website might be difficult for me to get used to, or I don't trust that they are really doing an auction. Like, there's several that will do a taking post-auction bids. You know, like, what's that? Either there was a high bid or there wasn't. So anyway, so we've got some questions. So let me, I've got somebody with the 631 area code.
Hey, Jean, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
When you're bidding on your auctions out of state, do you typically have an agent or a contractor or another investor inspect the properties for you, or do you sometimes bid on these, you know, sight unseen or uninspected?
Yeah, there's, you know, I always have somebody check it out for me.
Okay.
Yeah, now, even if I'm going into a new area, I will find somebody to, you know, drive by for me at least. Sometimes agents would love to work with me. Now, that's the other thing that I didn't get to touch on. Sometimes there are listing, or sometimes they will actually pay for a buyer's agent. Now, even though I'm doing all of this work, et cetera, I'm doing, you know, all of the work, I will actually name an agent that will get a percentage of the commission. It does not cost me any more at all, but it does help me for a couple of reasons. One, this agent will have added incentive to help me during the closing process because they get paid when it closes. And
right.
So they, if they have a contractor they can recommend, they're more than happy to work with me. And I'm more than happy to have them help me because they know more of the ins and outs of the closing process than I do. So whenever it's possible, I like to give the part of the commission to an agent. Now, of course, there's the other side is that your bid may be more attractive to the seller if you don't have an agent involved. And then these CWCOT properties that are showing up, there is no buyer's premium. And I didn't even talk about that. There is no buyer's premium, so there is no room for any commission for an agent.
Okay. All right. I heard you touch upon also you were talking about occupied properties and how frequently are you coming across these properties being occupied when you're bidding on them?
Yeah, there's you really don't know really if they're occupied or not. If there's, you know,
I find that the online auctions sometimes are they're very misleading. They say a lot of times they are occupied, but all
sometimes,
our research we've
yeah,
dealt
there
with.
Was one, you know, I usually bid on properties that are not in my area, so I really don't know if they're occupied or not, but I did get one in New Braunfels, which is near where I live in Austin, and I drove by, and it looked nice and neat, but it looked like somebody was living there. A couple weeks later, I was talking to a fellow real estate investor that lived in New Braunfels, and he drove by, and he said, "Gene, this is vacant." So I was like, "Sweet."
Okay. I appreciate the input.
No problem. Okay, I've got another question coming up. All right, this phone number ends in 4015.
Hi, Jean. That's me.
It's who?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's Todd. Hi.
Oh, hi, Todd.
Yeah, that guy from New Braunfels, he was a nice guy.
He's a hell of a nice guy. Todd is the one that he checked out the property for me. He loved it so much that I wholesaled it to him, And he did his little magic of what he does to those properties. And yes, the closing was very difficult on that particular property, and we know that we will not go through that title company again. But he ended up just minimal rehab work, and it sold in no time flat, and he made a bunch of money. Right, Todd?
It worked out good. And Gene is a first class person to deal with. My question, Gene, is where are you finding the deals? What states right now?
They send me a spreadsheet, and even though they are kind enough to limit the spreadsheet to just the states that they know I'm interested in, I can unlimit that, and I can see where all of the properties are. And what I'm seeing right now is most of the availability of properties is in the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, those areas right now.
Okay. Ever Connecticut or Mass?
Connecticut is in there too. All of that Northeast area is. Yeah, I don't know about really Connecticut, but definitely New Jersey and New York.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and those are areas that I really haven't invested in. I did help one of my clients buy a condo to use as a rental in New Jersey. So I really, we made a mistake. We did not name an agent for her. And I think that would have helped in her closing process. But So I'm still looking in Chicago and in Florida, and there's other areas that, I'm interested in, but right now my experience is most of the availability is in the Northeast and Florida.
Okay. So, do you, Southwest Florida, Northeast Florida? I mean, I know that you're in Hutchinson Island now.
Yeah, I'm in Hutchinson Island right now, and all of Florida right now I think is good. All of Florida. There was a time I was still kind of hesitant about the mid Florida, like Orlando and stuff, and I still haven't jumped into that area yet. I had great luck in the West Coast. I've had super luck in, I think I've done two deals in Port Charlotte. Those are just, it's my good luck area. The Southeast Florida is a little bit harder. I think there's the people that I've had to deal with are not necessarily as trustworthy as I'm used to. So I've actually had to show up, and that's okay. Because when I look at what to bid on a property, I need to make sure that that there's enough room where I might have to actually travel to that location to see what's going on.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Gene. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay. All right. I've got another question here, and this is with the 832 area code. Ends in 7491.
Hi, Jane. Yes, this is Rachel. I'm in the Houston Katy area.
Oh,
can
great.
Can you elaborate on the buyer's premium? Why do some properties have this and some don't? And then you just mentioned about there's no room for commission as an agent sometime. If you are an agent yourself bidding, how does that make a difference or not?
I really haven't come across that question. I think you have to disclose that you're an agent for some reason. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you the best answer for that one. Just because I don't know what happens with that. Now, the buyer's premiums means that they have enough room to pay an agent.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It has nothing to do with the status of the property or anything.
Usually, if it's occupied or if it's a day one REO, there's usually no buyer's premium. There's been a lot of times that there's been a lot of no buyer premiums that are out there. And in fact, I've gotten so used to not having to pay a buyer's premium, I bid on one, and I was a high bidder on one in, I think it was a Hubzu one, And then I saw a $7,000 buyer's premium, and I went, oops, I forgot about a buyer's premium. So you do want to keep that in mind as you are as you're making your bids. You know, you need to look at that because you know you think you might be bidding $95,000 and you're really bidding, you know, 5% more than that.
Right. Now I went to the courthouse recently and I saw auction.com there. What's the difference between them being there as opposed to being online?
They are the ones that are facilitating the live auction. So that's all. That's why they're able to advertise some properties on their website, and then they are actually physically present as the substitute trustee calling out the auctions.
Okay.
So those are the ones that are owned by the borrower, and then that is the official method to foreclose on those properties.
And you would still recommend not really doing it there?
Well, okay. This is what happened in my experience. I went to the Travis County, and I had my check. I was ready to pay cash for a property, and these guys just kept bidding up higher and higher and higher to where it made no sense. I went up to the guy later, and I said, what's it take to get a deal, you know, to get a deal here on the courthouse steps? And he says, well, you go someplace else. And I said, well,
okay.
How about maybe I'll go to Williamson County. And he says, no, we're in Williamson County too. And I said, oh, well, I guess I could go to Bastrop County. And he said, yeah, you can go to Bastrop County. We're not there. So, you know, they've got their system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they will, and I've read about this or heard about this. I think I would listen to a lot of podcasts from the Norris Group, which they are a hard money lender out of California. But their topics are of national concern. So they were a great learning resource for me listening to their podcasts. And they would even tell a story about when you go to the courthouse steps, you know, when you've got the established network there, and they see a newbie coming, they don't mind, you know, bidding it up so high that even if you do get the high bid, you're going to be hurting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I've seen some properties on MLS that then refer you to go to auction.com. These are properties, obviously, you can get into if they're on MLS.
I don't know. It will say if it's on auction.com, then it should say whether it's occupied or not. If there's you can tell when you get to auction.com if there's a listing agent, and I have reached out to the listing agent from time to time, especially if I'm not sure about the occupancy status, and they can let me know if they have any information, and they're more than happy to get back to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I like your area. I mean, I do like where you are. I think there's some.
Yeah, I'm in the Katy area, and we have some good properties out here.
Yeah, you've got some good properties. You've got some great schools, you know,
good
school systems. And so, you know, there was that little scare about the energy industry. But, you know, overall, I still think it's a good area where there's some opportunities.
Right. So. Yeah. I've seen several properties out here in particular zip codes that look desirable.
Okay.
What else? I have my list of questions.
Okay.
I guess on the title issues, I mean, I have a title company I already work with just from doing regular, you know, real estate. But this is something you said, always recommend getting title insurance.
Always.
You don't move on that until after you win a bid.
Right. There are some of these properties where they will happily just give you a quick claim deed. But I insist on title insurance, and that's something that I pay for. Yeah, in fact, there was one property here in Fort Pierce. Well, I'm in North Hutchinson Island right now, but there was a little $28,000 property in Fort Pierce. And the title company came back and said, hey, there's $1 million lien on the property.
Yeah, mm-hmm, I
read
that.
So I was thankful that I insisted on title insurance and was able to back out of that one.
What about you? I was reading through the comments, and you said, what's an indicative bid? You said they share this with you. What does that mean?
The indicative bid is most close to what the seller wants to see.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say it's reserves, but they're calling it indicative bid. You know, that's the seller saying, you know, if we get this bid, you know, we'll probably take it.
Okay. I think that's all I got right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If there's any other questions, the *6 will get you in the Q&A queue. If, you know, I have, like I said, represented many people with auction.com and with purchasing and even bailing out or backing out of auction.com properties. So if you want to talk to me about how that works, I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
I'm interested. I'll be reaching out to you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Oh, good. Good. Yep. So anyway, if there's no more questions, then I recommend that, again, get involved in my Facebook group, Gene Norton's Real Estate Contacts, and also my blog, GeneNorton.com. And thank you very much, everybody, for coming. And I hope you got some good information. And you know, reach out to me if you have more questions.
So, all right. Thank you.
All right. And thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.